We as the department did, however, have all of our information filed in a timely fashion. It's just due to some of the circumstances within the building that we are now discussing this. This is a grant for the our program that we refer to as the REACH grant, which is the Residential Energy Assistance Challenge Fund. It is a federal grant, as you see. Do you have a talking paper, a summary that looks something like this with bullets on it?
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Just now, getting it. We just received it.
I'm going to work my way down that for you, so you can just see. Again, you can see that the amount of money is a little under $1 million, which is a little different than the original letter that we submitted to the co-chairs back some time ago, requesting this grant. So the amount has reduced to some degree. As you can see, the program is designed. The federal government participates between 8 and 10 states per year to create this innovative learning opportunity for low-income families, particularly children who are in middle schools. It is designed to benefit low-income families to the extent where their children will be exposed to or given opportunities to be better aware and or knowledgeable of issues around energy efficiency and the advantages of that, what it brings to you in a financial way. We propose that there are in our proposal there are four community action partners who will be participating with this in curriculums with middle schools around the state of Oregon. The criteria is for these middle schools is for targeting purposes that these schools are also the same type of schools that would have free and reduced meals programs. So clearly we would be getting to the schools that have a high degree of low-income students. The four areas that we are going to serve are the Mid-Willamette area through their community action partner, Multnomah County Action Agency, Medford Access Action Agency, and the Northeast CC&N Housing Authority, if I'm not mistaken, Community Action Agency in Northeast State of Oregon. As you can see on the second bullet of our proposal, this is an interesting program to the extent that we believe that it allows students to become more aware of electrical using of their devices in their homes, gives them an opportunity for hands-on activities regarding energy usage, will allow them or teach them how to complete a house-home audit, gives them some curriculum that they're able to share not only in their own household but with other friends of theirs, so that they become more aware as citizens, at the same time hopefully gaining some level of savings for the energy costs that their family might be incurring. This is done through what they would call kits that the students are given, as you can see on the third bullet. The kits include programs, issues such as showerhead, water efficiency showerheads, compact fluorescent lights, refrigerator thermometers, kitchen and bathroom aerators, and air temperature cards. Minimum things that people can use in their home that they can use to assess and become more energy aware in their day-to-day activities. The program also includes a $65,000 match or a commitment from PacifiCorps for the purchase of these kits, of which currently we do have a program working with PacifiCorps already on a similar activity in our REACH program. So this is not a new partnership. This is an enhancement of an existing partnership that we've had for some time. Program outcomes, again, this is the year of outcomes of what we expect, and I think this is a fair analysis for you to questions for you to be aware of how we believe that this will affect Oregonians. We believe that there will be 8,000 students who will be available to this program using these resources. You will see that it will also improve or enhance education opportunities for families so they can become more self-sufficient in their skills and better understanding of life's challenges. And it also would mean that they will provide about a $16 per year energy saving on the assumption that those kits are used in an effective manner in the placement of those 8,000 students' homes. So it's, a grant that has no beginning nor end. It can be put into place, facilitated in four areas of the state, and if no other funding was ever available from the federal government, then the program can. So it's not a dependent where once you've funded it, it has to sustain itself. It's a kind of an add-on program that our community action partners are going to participate within their communities.
Senator Carter?
I can tell you programs of this nature were
because they had sent one home from the school when my kids were small. Mm-hmm. And the daughter that was in charge drove every
crazy. Yeah.
So I feel sorry for the parents, but, you know, it's exciting to know that these kids pick up, you know, how to save on energy, turn their lights out, then they got all this other stuff. Yeah,
we've all gone through it.
But it's a wonderful grant.
Oh, Senator Morris.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not speaking against this grant. I'm speaking against the rationale that justifies this grant and denies the grants with respect to obesity, diabetes,
Hello.
And lead paint.
That's right.
In housing and its effect on children. I feel that we collectively would be well advised to make known to the co-chairs that we take exception to how these grants are approved, and the lack of approval of those grants. So we serve on another committee together where we'll have this discussion, I'm sure, but I just find it an interesting criteria for approving one grant over another.
Yes. Senator Carter.
I'm ready to give you a motion.
Okay, let's go ahead. We can have discussion after that. You got here because you heard that we assigned you the bill.
No.
Oops, did they say that? Recognizing Senator Carter moving right along.
The missing chair syndrome.
Yes, I understand. Is it something I can pronounce at least?
Yeah, that's okay, yes, good.
Mr. Chairman, I move approval retroactively of the submission of the grant application for $978,957. To full committee with due pass recommendation.
Senator Carter has moved a retroactive submission of grant application for $978,957. Will be moved the recommendation to the committee for approval, to the full committee. I'll get that out. Bear with me. Is there any objection to this grant?
I apologize. Sorry, I've been dealing with something else, and you may have already covered it. Why is the grant retroactive?
He doesn't even have to answer. Yeah. I bet you gave it to the co-chair and they haven't decided on grants yet.
If that's it, he's fine. If it's because he didn't get his paperwork,
no. Ms. Chair, Senator Dukes,
other
no,
forces
we are very
outside of you have been holding this up.
Yes, we learned our lesson last session where we missed one.
Does Senator Moore
Mr. Chairman, I wanted to make a clarification on a statement.
One second. We have a conversation that's occurring here. Two senators are having a discussion. We will.
We're fine.
All right. Representative Refine. Director Refine would like to address.
I just want, Mr. Chairman and committee members, I wanted to clarify a faux pas I made. There's not a grant match requirement when I was talking about the Pacific Corps resources. That's money that that's going to come along from them to be a contributing partner in this. The grant is actually a standalone. There's no match requirements, and so it's. I just want to make sure that I clarified that. The staff twittered a little bit, weren't I?
Okay. Representative Hanson.
Well, I'm just going to jump in on the theme Senator Morris started, and that's. You know, this is a good grant. It translates out to a $16 a year benefit to families that are struggling to make ends meet, and that's, you know, a good saving. On the other hand, the grant involving obesity, the cost to those families, if that problem isn't brought under control in terms of onset of diabetes and a whole range of health problems, I mean, will dwarf these numbers hugely. And I apologize for bringing this department into another a complete different subject area, but it there doesn't seem to be a consistency in terms of how we're looking at things. But this is a good one, and I'll be glad to support.
Okay. Any further questions or comments? If We have a motion to approve the retroactive submission of a grant application for $978,957 without objection. Seeing or hearing no objection, we'll move. I will close the work session on the federal. Well, yes, we need carry. Excuse me.
May I carry this one on the
you
house side?
Would you carry this?
I need to do something positive.
Sorry. But next time they have some money going
there. Sure, jump in on this.
Just a full.
Just a full.
I'll take the easy
one. He's volunteered to carry the full.
Yeah.
So you open up your mouth, we're going to give it to you. Okay, we're going to close the work session on the Federal Health and Human Services.
Is not carried
on. Oh, he's going to get the next one.
Okay.
Health Assistant Grant Application, tap the gavel. I will close that work session, and we will open a public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 2167 related to Oregon Commission on Voluntary Action and Services.
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, the item before you is, as you described, House Bill 2167. It came to the subcommittee as a be-engrossed bill. Essentially, the bill, as it's before you, has to do with the Oregon Commission for Voluntary Action and Service, which is currently a budgeted element of the Housing and Community Services Department budget. The statutes currently provide that the commission director is appointed by the commission, but does require the Commission's director to cooperate with Housing and Community Services Department in developing and administering the Commission's non-policy-making activities. The bill would, as you have it, would separate the Commission from Housing, setting it aside as a standalone agency as of July 1, 2004. It also has language in it that would direct the Commission to examine the feasibility of becoming, to some extent or completely, a nonprofit tax-exempt organization and to report back to the no later than January 31st of 2005. The fiscal impact statement that is part of your materials reflects what that separation of agencies would look like insofar as assuming a division of the budget 50-50 between the two fiscal years of the biennium. The impact would be different if there were additional or more funds or fewer funds expended in the first fiscal year. What I have in front of you also is a set of B3 amendments which were originally proposed to the bill by Housing and Community Services Department, which would substitute the language of the B and Gross bill, making it instead leaving intact the current structure, but directing the commission to look at the feasibility of that nonprofit tax-exempt status and report to the next assembly. The amendments would also require the director of the Commission for Voluntary Action and Service to report to and comply with directions of the Director of Housing and Community Services, again, on non-policy-making activities. It further would have the housing director approving the appointment of any employees or subordinate officers made by the commission director. Those B3 amendments would make the bill non-fiscal at this time. And I believe both the director of housing and a representative of the commission, Saul Etlin, is here to talk to you about further proposal for amendments. Mr. Chair,
Senator Duke,
just for the sake of doing it, I'd like to throw something out. I did not look this over before I got here, so I apologize. I'll be listening to the testimony. But it strikes me as strange that we would say something should be run by a nonprofit, but our state employee is going to be involved in the hiring. I mean, that's kind of like this independent contractor stuff, where either you are or you aren't. And I sort of figured, when we start getting folks, I hate semi-independent. I mean, it's kind of like you're either out there on your own or you're one of us. So, I mean, maybe people will talk about that.
Senator George.
Just as part of your...
Senator Dukes, I can address that specifically. Jack Kenney, Deputy Director of Oregon Housing and Community Services. And you're exactly right. As the attorney at Legislative Council said, it's got to be,
feast or famine.
Exactly. And so what the bill proposes in the section one is a transitional mechanism for the commission during the current biennium to study potentially moving to the 501c3 status. There are currently, I believe, at least five commissions nationally that run this Federal AmeriCorps program that do operate as 501c3 corporations, so it's not without precedent. But once it would become an independent 501c3 organization, if that was the path the commission chose to take, then their employees would no longer be state employees. And I can give more background later, but that's the direct answer to your question.
Representative Smith and then Senator Carter.
Thank you, Chair George. Really quick, who's spearheading the move? What created the desire to move from the state to a nonprofit?
Senator George, Representative Smith, I'll let Saul Etlin talk about that. But maybe if it may be helpful, I give a little bit of background on how we got to where we are today.
That would be great. Go ahead.
The commission was established, actually it had been functioning as the Community Services Commission as part of Community College and Workforce Development until the last session. It was established as the Commission on Voluntary Action and Services under House Bill 2265 in the last session and became part of our department. This bill is initially introduced, 2167, was kind of a technical correction, we felt, that clarified some reporting relationships and had the staff of the commission, which was now part of our agency, report to our director. In reviewing that, the commission, and I don't mean to speak for the commission, I'll let Saul fill in, but the commission felt that it would be perhaps better to explore alternative routes rather than have their commission employee report directly to our director. So we had kind of a discussion, if you will, on what the appropriate reporting mechanism would be under the circumstances. We, of course, feeling that if this commission was part of our agency and the commission employees were our employees, they should report to our director. The commission felt that for policy independence purposes, that it would be appropriate for the commission director to report to the commission. So we took the initial bill. We talked to Chair Crummell in general government and had mediation sessions, worked through different ways that this reporting relationship might be clarified, how we could best accomplish the mission of the commission. And the commission does many, many good things in the state, from watershed enhancement to domestic violence shelters to Habitat for Humanity builds. And Saul could speak, you know, volumes about all the good things they do for the state. So it's an important program, gets about $5.5 million in federal funds biannually to the state. It's important to keep the good work of the commission going, but wanted to clarify this reporting relationship. So we had amendments to the bill that would have allowed basically the department, the commission, to become an independent state agency, as your staff, as Adrian has pointed out, in July of 2004, and then as part of the transition to potentially a 501c3 next biennium. That bill passed the House 57-0, but when it came to Ways and Means, there was some discussion about perhaps it wouldn't be necessary for them to be an independent agency in this interim period, and they could still work towards becoming a 501c3 as part of our department. So what the Dash B3 amendments do is get back a little flavor of our initial amendment that we proposed at the beginning of the session to clarify that reporting relationship, at the same time leave in what the House approved, 57-0, for this commission to work towards not being a state agency in the future, but working towards being a 501c3. And again, as I mentioned previously, there's at least five other states that administer the AmeriCorps program as a 501c3. Finally, I guess the last thing I'd like to say is that in working with the commission, we would like to propose a minor change to the B3 amendments, and that would be on lines 14 and 15. There's a phrase that begins with the approval. Well, basically, the proposed amendment that we would appreciate your indulgence in entertaining conceptually is to, on lines 14 and 15, strike the words, "with the approval of the director of the Housing and Community Services Department." And that has to do with the selecting of their staff, appointing of their staff. as the commission pointed out, what we were really looking for here was to make sure that appropriate state government controls were in place for the hiring process, and the clarifying language in lines 18 and 19 cover that. So it's probably unnecessary to have the line that I just described on 14 and 15. And with that, Senator Carter, I didn't mean to jump on your question, but...
That's all right.
Mr. Chairman, just as a follow-up before Salton, one of the issues that I think Senator Duke was asked, or has maybe is contemplating, is the question of the nonprofit status. What does it gain them versus where they are today? Clearly, through some discussion with the commission, we believe that they enhance their financial position greatly by able to go out and seek other resources through other foundations. There seems to be, anytime you're still tied with a state entity in this regard, you don't get the same kind of attention or resources that you might be able to get if you were a standalone 501c3. And that has borne out with some of the other states around the United States who are standalone. And so we agree or concurred that this would allow them greater latitudes to be able to find other resources to match with their federal dollars.
Senator Carter.
I just want to say, Senator Duke, the agency that I salvaged, the county came in and helped them stay connected until I was able to raise the money for them to be standalone with the organization again. So there is precedence when government and 501c organizations do it together to do it.
But you had to report to somebody at the county, didn't you?
Yeah.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair Grove. So with the shift, will we eventually shift away from the $90,000 of general fund?
Right. Chair George, Representative Smith, we have been zeroed out. Currently, we're subsisting just on our
Saul,
federal...
Saul, state your name for...
Sorry, Saul Etlin. I'm a commissioner for the Commission for Voluntary Action Service. We've been zeroed out of the budget at this point, and we subsist on our federal dollars, which are received mostly as a match. PSU is kind enough to be our physical home, and they provide us with over $100,000 in match, which we then turn into federal administrative dollars, which help to pay some of the commission expenses. But this, for the 0305 biennium, we won't be receiving any general fund.
Question then.
Follow-up question.
I need some clarification because the information in front of me shows that they're proposing to get $90,000 general fund.
Mr. Chair and Representative Smith, yes, that was based on the governor's budget proposal, which is the only thing, the only substance that we had relate this bill to when the fiscal impact statement was originally developed. And the one that you have in front of you for the Bee and Gross bill dated June 13th still reflects that general fund portion. But the last paragraph on page one of the fiscal impact statement does note that the budget of the co-chairs does not fully fund the general fund appropriation for the commission in the housing department budget.
Not fully funded, zeros it out.
Correct.
Okay.
At this point.
Mr.
Chair? Senator Carter.
I move the conceptual amendment. Well,
yes, we need to go to a work session.
Oh, okay.
Excuse me. Pardon me, everyone. At this time, I'm going to close the public hearing, and with the tap of the gavel, we'll be in a work session on House Bill 2167. Now, Senator Carter, before you make a motion, is all of the three folks we have here, Saul and Jack, and the director, everyone has seen the Hannah Gross dash 3 and agrees to that? Thank you, Senator.
Senator George, that is correct. With the with the description that I just made, with the hand and gross being the striking the with the approval of the Director of Housing and Community Service on line 14 and 15. Yes, sir.
Great. Senator, would you make mention to that when you actually do the motion?
Could we hear from the guy up from the commission?
Yes.
He's sitting up there.
Right.
Well,
you're looking for a vision of where they're going to go in the future.
Is that it?
Well, that was.
Oh, I'm still trying to figure out what they're doing now. Their offices are in Portland State. They're under housing, and they're getting money out of the general fund. I'll take the best of all worlds to me, but.
Chair George, Senator Dukes, the commission was created in 9 years ago in 1994 under the AmeriCorps Act, and we're responsible for granting, putting AmeriCorps grants and putting AmeriCorps members into agencies and organizations around the state of Oregon, primarily. In the last session, when we moved to housing, we were also given the charge of promoting volunteerism around the state, and we're working on a unified plan to do some of that work, although figuring out where we're going to live has taken more of our time, and so we haven't been able to do some of that other work.
Okay, we're just shoving you out of the nest.
Well, and as we zeroed out for general fund, we felt that moving to this nonprofit status would really provide the commission more opportunities to do the volunteerism work and to do some other work around volunteerism, because there are foundations and other granting organizations that are interested in promoting volunteerism and community leadership that are not interested in giving to a state agency. And so we felt that the nonprofit status would allow us to do some of that other work. And while we continue to do, and it fit well with the AmeriCorps work that we already do, which also promotes the notion of volunteerism. Our relationship with Portland State, I'm new to the commission, so I don't know how we ended up there, but it fits well with the institution's mission of community, the students being out in the community, and the notion of service learning. And so it's a good relationship for us, and we're looking at building that relationship as we move forward. So given the state of the state and what we were able to have in general fund, this really looked at the best option. And when the commission was created, it was always sort of created as a standalone agency. And as it's existed under other agencies, it's always been a conflict. And it was a conflict with community colleges, and it continued to be a conflict with housing. And so one of the solutions was for us to move out on our own. But without general fund, it looked like that becoming a nonprofit organization, or at least exploring that option, was going to be the best avenue for the commission. So that's where we got to today.
Senator Dukes?
If we were to go the route of saying, as of a certain date, you are one, what kind of resources do you have? Have you had the opportunity to either get a reserve fund or to explore the possibilities with some other granting agencies?
Well, we've begun to explore. The initial exploration happened with just discussing it with the other commissions around the nation that do AmeriCorps granting and seeing how feasible and how well that works for them. And so we've had that discussion. We've looked at, can we exist under somebody else's C status temporarily? I'd have to speak with the executive director, who is out ill, on as far as what kind of reserve or how we'd be able to subsist. But since we mostly rely on the federal administrative dollars, I think that we could make the transition, but we would need, when we looked at creating the legislation, the B engrossed legislation, the two-step process worked well, that we were able to consolidate the work of the commission under the commission in the first year. And then we'd have one more year then to look at becoming a C3 and create all the legal status that would be necessary to do that. So the bill, without the changes, allowed us the avenue to sort of give us a nice two-step process of bringing all the work of the commission under the commission, and then come back in the 05 legislature with a recommendation to the legislature to say, you know, we would like to become the C-status organization. Here's the structure that we've created, and we're ready to move.
We're okay not getting any general fund that works.
Well, I don't know if I could say we're okay. We'll probably lose staff over it. We
probably didn't give you an option. Okay.
At least we got that on there. Any further questions then? What I would do is entertain a motion. We have a hand-engrossed version of the B3 dated 7/14/2:55 p.m., which strikes the words on lines 14 and 15, with the approval of the Director of the Housing and Community Services Department.
So moved, motion.
Everyone's heard the motion. Are there any questions then about the hand-engrossed? We'll move that without objection. Hearing seeing none, so moved.
Mr. Chairman,
yes. I think so, yes. Let's go ahead and do that.
Move House Bill 2167 to the full committee with the impact.
Okay. Senator Carter has recommended the subcommittee recommend that House Bill 2167B, as amended, be reported out. Do you pass?
As amended?
Yeah, I said amended in the word. Next time, read what's in scripts in front of you. Let's do that again, then. Subcommittee recommends that House Bill 2167B be reported out, do pass, as amended. Any questions or comments? Without objection. So moved. All right. Do volunteers? No? Oh, well, Senator Morris has decided to do it, and they were indicating they wanted to do it.
The spirit of volunteer.
Yes. And we have a house? Yes, we have a volunteer.
Thank you.
That's it. Thank you. Okay. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2167, and apparently everyone is willing to leave. With the tap of the gavel, we will be adjourned.